Happy Sabbath again. And we see the sun coming through the window, and we just praise the Lord for his sunshine, and we praise him for his son, Jesus Christ, because that's the reason why we are here today, to praise him and to give him all of the glory. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you again for this opportunity that you have given me, more than an opportunity. It's a privilege to come and speak for you. Lord, I pray that that you have given me to say will be received. It will be received through hearts that are filled with your Holy Spirit. And as Jerry said, that it will be your Holy Spirit who will transform these secular words into spiritual words and to make it clear what the message is. And in all of this, we will be careful to give you the praise and the glory. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It was a hot summer last summer, right? Anybody remember? Do you remember that all during 2007 there were any number of prayers that were going up for rain because it was so dry during the summer? And we were praying for the literal showers of blessings, and despite our prayers, very little did fall. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, as of August 20th, 2007, had declared all 46 counties in South Carolina as in a moderate drought area. The Augusta Chronicle of December 27th reported that the rainfall deficit for the year in Aiken County was 10.70 inches. And that despite the rain at year's end, we were still in a deficit mode. Now, we got some yesterday. How many of us got some rain yesterday? And we can say amen and thank the Lord. But we are still in a deficit mode. And I think you can remember last year all of the lawns that were scorched and how the crops were failing and how because of that the price of groceries and was going up, and it's still going up. I went to the grocery store on Thursday and sticker shock. Okay. There were some of us who were conserving water. How many of you practice conservation methods? Joan, what did you do? That's called a Navy shower. Yes, a Navy shower. You run some water on you lather up, and then you turn the water off, and you scrub good, and then you turn the water back on and rinse off. A Navy shower, conservation method, yeah. Anybody? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Turn the water off when you know, I had those down here, and you've taken my thunder. Anybody else? Yes, Shirley. Sandy. Okay, very good.
Might have to make a couple of trips when I wash dishes, but I need the exercise.
Okay, very good. Anybody else practice conservation methods, conserving water? I'm happy that we are doing this because we are not out of the woods yet as far as conservation is concerned. But suppose you lived in and around Palestine in Bible times when there was no municipal water system. And there is no rain from April to October. In that area, there is no rain at all from April to October. Suppose you were living in a tent in desert-like conditions and did not have a well available. Or if you had a well, your enemies had come and covered it up and you couldn't get to it. It's pretty distressing, isn't it? But those people and we have a God who is cognizant of and in control of all weather and climate conditions. He's full of mercy and grace, and he knows and respects the physical and spiritual needs of his people, and not just those who worship him, because we are told that he sends his sun and his rain on all, good and evil. That omniscient God does not leave anything to chance or happenstance. He is the creator of all things, and so he knows what to expect before it happens. In an area where there is no rain, he has made provisions. He has supplied dew from heaven. This dew was for the ancient Israelites. It was for the people who live in that area today, and it is for us, the people of the present people who are spiritual Israel. Now, dew was a present necessity for those who lived in ancient Israel. It is still a present necessity because, as I said, for 6 months out of the year, it does not rain in that area. God says in Hosea 14:5, I will be as the dew unto Israel. In Psalms 133, verse 3, he says, it is like the dew on the mountains called Hemron. It also pours down on the mountains of Mount Zion. So he has his dew throughout that area to pour down. Now you say it's an arid area. It is very dry. How is the dew going to form if there is no moisture? And I see you shaking your head, Shirley. You were way ahead of me, right? Well, God has taken care of that because he has had Israel, Palestine, situated in an area where there are great seas, where there is the Mediterranean Sea and there's the Jordan River. There are a number of rivers around. And at night, when the air cools and it blows over this area, it brings with it the dew. And there are some areas that only get the dew, but you can go and visit even the desert areas. And Vince mentioned this in Sabbath school this morning. You can visit the desert areas and you will find that there is vegetation. You can find vineyards out in the desert. You can find animals, small animals running around that exist on nothing but the dew. God is great, isn't he? And we have every reason to praise him. So when we were struggling this summer, thinking about how we were going to survive, God is sitting back and says, oh, those people don't know what they're talking about. All they have to do is trust in me and I will provide it. He makes provisions for all of our necessities. He gives us rain when it is necessary. And then he also supplies us with the dew of heaven. Just this past week, we had a lot of fog. And how many of you went out in the mornings after the fog had kind of lifted? And what did you see on the ground? The moisture from it. So God makes the provisions for us. And all we have to do is trust him. Dew forms most heavily on good conductors of heat, such as metals and stones, because they radiate their heat faster and cool the air around him. Now, do you want a practical example of how much dew can fall in at night in that dry area of Palestine? If you want to know, just turn with me, please, to Judges 6:36. Judges 6:36, and you know the story. The story here is that Gideon was made a judge in Israel. And he is supposed to deliver Israel from the Amalekites and from the Midianites. But Gideon is a bit hesitant to venture out. He does not have that. He has faith, but he doesn't have that much faith. He wants to put out the fleece, so to speak, and he does put out the fleece. Judges 6, and I'm beginning with verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by thine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a piece of wool in the floor. And this was the threshing floor, and the threshing floor was solid, so that the dew would condense on that threshing floor. He says, I will put a piece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and thou hast said, and it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece. And how much was it? A bowl full of water. Just a little piece of lamb's wool that he had put out there on the threshing floor. No water, no rain, no moisture anywhere, except for the dew where? From heaven. And from whom did it come? It came from God. And he was able to get a whole bowl full of water out of that little piece of wool. Can we say amen?
Amen.
God is good. He makes provisions out of nowhere for us. When our lives are dry, he is there to give us the moisture through his Holy Spirit that we need. Not only does this prove the abundance of the dew in the desert areas of Palestine, but it shows the grace and support of our ever-loving God. He allows his dew to fall when we are met in spiritual battles. You ever been in a spiritual battle? Yes. You ever had a contest with the devil? Yes. Has the devil ever been on your trail? Yes. Have you been able to get through that? Yes. And how is it? It is through the grace of the mercy of God. It is through his dew from heaven that he rains down on us. When the enemy of souls attacks us, God is there. And he encourages us that the battle is not ours to fight, but it is his as we lean on his everlasting arm. So we begin to see that dew is a symbol of blessings. It is a symbol of God's blessings. Dew was especially valued by the children of Israel in the desert, as we have said. One of the reasons is because it supplied the manna for their sustenance. Had you ever thought of how the manna got there? We said it rained down, but how did it rain down? Go with me, please, to Exodus 16:13. And I'm reading. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up. Now, this is not the dew, but and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the what? Are you there yet? The dew lay round about the host. What's the host? The host was the manna. It was the bread that had come down from heaven. You are not following that? We need, and we are told that we are not to take just one scripture as truth. Let's go to another scripture. Go with me to Numbers 11:9. That makes it quite clear. Numbers 11:9. And Connie, when you find that, what translation do you have, Connie?
New American Standard.
When you find it, would you read it for us, please?
What was it again?
Numbers 11:9.
When the dew fell in the camp at night, the manna would fall with it.
All right. When the dew fell, the King James Version says, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. But her version says that the manna fell with it. So with the dew came the manna. And for 40 years, God saw to it that the Israelites' daily bread was supplied by providing dew for the manna to rest upon, or dew for the manna to come down with at night, because it would have seemed a little bit odd, would it not, for just this bread to be falling down? So there had to be some way for it to get to the ground. He has given spiritual Israel, he has given the promise to spiritual Israel, to us, that our bread and our water are sure. And he has also given us the promise that if we cast our bread upon the waters, in due time it will return to us. So his due and his blessings are still falling on us. We are still getting his manna from heaven. His due is still falling on us. As I said, we all have dry seasons in our lives when we need the dew of heaven to be poured out on us. And it is important that we live our lives where we can receive the dew of heaven. There is an example of a place where a blessing was poured out, or a blessing was given to an individual. Genesis 27, 26 through 29. And this was the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob. And as I read, you will remember the story, or you have already remembered the story. Jacob and his mother have conspired together, if you remember the story. And they have conspired that Jacob will go into his father and take the savory stew so that Jacob can receive the blessing from his father. And beginning with verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field when the Lord has blessed. May God give you of what? The dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now he is to receive of this dew of heaven. This dew is going to be the literal dew, because where is Jacob going to live? He is going to live in the area of Palestine. So he will be blessed by this dew that comes down for 6 months out of the year to add moisture to this fertile plain. Jacob was to settle in and around this area. But Jacob's brother Esau, much of whose territory was to be in the east, was too distant from the sea for the dew of heaven to fall on him. So when he did come to Isaac and cried out for a blessing, he found out that he had been duped out of his blessing by his brother. This is the blessing that Isaac gave to Esau. And we are in Genesis 27, beginning with 39. And Isaac, his father, answered him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother." Esau was not to have the dew of heaven. He was not to get the fatness of the earth. But Isaac's blessings for Jacob was that peace and fertility might be his. As spiritual Israel, these same blessings are ours. Deuteronomy 33:28 through 29. God spoke to literal Israel and through extension to us as spiritual Israel. And here is what he says. "Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also the heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord." So we are given a promise that the dew of heaven will fall down on us as we surrender ourselves to Him, as we become His people, as we walk as He would have us to walk, as we keep His commandments, as we are obedient to Him and do what He would ask us. What a beautiful promise, and how encouraging to know that just as God poured down dew, literal dew, to fatten the lands of the Israelites, that He pours down His spiritual blessings on us. He cares for us. He nourishes us. He provides for all of our needs through His Son, Jesus Christ. He allows His dew to fall on us in the form of blessings. And we are blessed. Not only does dew fall for blessings of peace and fertility, but it acts as a symbol of prosperity. As Job presented his case to God while he is lamenting his pitiful state, he remembers his former prosperity. You remember that Job had been cursed by the devil, and all of these curses had come upon him. And then we get over to chapter 29, where he continues to present his case to God. And this is what he says in Job 29:19. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. Now he remembers that the reason that he was prospering, the reason that he was so successful, is that God had allowed the rain to come and he had allowed the dew to be there for him. He is acknowledging that the dew from heaven, God's grace, was what made his former affluence possible. And now all of this has disappeared and he finds himself in a miserable state. God's dew falls on us as spiritual Israel and allows us to prosper, to have our needs met. We are told that he will supply our needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only as his dew falls are our needs met, but he also provides us conveniences and comforts. And again, we were talking about this in Sabbath school, about when we become disciples, we have to give up everything and there are no frills. Have you ever stopped to consider just how well off you are? Have you considered where your benefits come from? David exalts and praises the Lord in Psalm 65:9 as he says that it is God who visits the earth and waters it, who enriches it with the rivers of God. We could read this as the dew from heaven. He says that we are given corn. It is God who has provided it. We are told in another place that he loads us down with his blessings. He says it was as distilled dew that Moses was able to go out. It was as a gift from God. His dew that falls could be equated to his Holy Spirit. And again, those of you who were in our Sabbath school class this morning, we talked about this Holy Spirit being poured out. It's God's rain. It is his dew. It is his small rain and his showers that are blessings on us to help us realize who he is, how much he loves us, and how he wishes us to share him with others. The next time you see dew on the grass in the morning, remember its origin. Remember where it comes from. It is a gift from God. And let's remember all of the blessings that it represents from the great God that we serve. Know too that we are a people who are looking for the latter rain. This latter rain is to be poured out without measure, and it is to encourage us or enable us to go and take this last day message. Now, where is this coming from? It is God's due. And the more blessed we are as we pray and ask to receive the latter rain, the more we will receive. And this will help us to be able to share that much more, this last day message, to the whole world. And once this last day message is taken, because we are told in Matthew 24:14, that once this last day message is taken to the whole world, then what is going to happen? Jesus is going to come. How many of you are looking for Jesus to come? How many of you are tired of the things that are going on in this world? Every day when you pick up the newspaper, every day when you watch the news on television or listen to it on radio, you hear more atrocious things taking place. There is no respect for life anymore. And we are informed that this disrespect for life is one of the significant areas, or one of the significant signs of the time just before Jesus is going to come. So, sisters and brothers, we are very close to the time when Jesus is going to come. And we need to be drawing closer and closer to him. But if you are as I am, you have some people who are very close to you, some family members, some friends, who do not know Jesus and the pardoning of their sins. And they do not know this last day message. We are here this morning and we are blessed because we do know it. We have been blessed because we have had the dew of heaven poured out on us. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to share. Our responsibility is to share that Holy Spirit, to share that dew that he has, that literal and that spiritual dew that he has allowed to fall on us, that we are so blessed. We are told in one place that if we don't do what we are given to do, then the blood of those who are close to us will be where? On our hands. So we have a responsibility and we have a privilege. And that privilege is to make sure that we share all of the blessings that God has given to us, to those who are in our sphere, that we as Christians, that we as disciples, help Jesus to pour out this dew from heaven on those who are around us. Let us pray. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this dew of heaven that has been poured out on us. We thank you that we heard and we responded. But Father, you know that there are those who are out there who have not heard and have not been given the responsibility to respond. But we have the responsibility now to share this good news, this great news with them. So we ask that you would help us, Lord, that you would enable us, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to be the channel of blessings to those who are in our family, to those who are in our neighborhood, those who are in our community, even those who are in our world, because you said the things that you do, that we should do even greater. So you have given us a larger arena in which to work. And we ask that we would be faithful in what you have given us and to use that you have given us so that we can carry this last message to the world. And then you can come and we can be with you forever in that place that you have provided for us. And we will be so careful, Lord, to give you all of the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.